Well, thank you again for coming, and glad to be with you another time for the Gospel. I want to read tonight in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 13. The Acts of the Apostles in chapter 13, and we'll read at verse 13. Acts chapter 13 and verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia, and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. And so he gives a little history, but we just want to drop down to verse 22. And when he had removed him, that Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Verse 26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Verse 28. And though they found no cause of death in him, that's in the Lord Jesus, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him from the dead, and he was seen many days of them which came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are his witnesses unto the people. Verse 38. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him, all that believe are justified from all things, from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Now that's all I want to read tonight with the Lord's blessing. We have read tonight a little of the travels of the great apostle Paul, who at this stage was accompanied by a man called Barnabas. And they came to a certain city called Antioch, not the one that we speak of as where they were first called Christians at Antioch, but another Antioch, that of Pisidia. And as the custom, they went into the synagogue. And after reading and so on, there was opportunity to speak. And Paul beckoned with his hand. I'm not sure whether that gives preachers a license to use their hands or not, but he beckoned with his hand. And he began to speak to them, and he really rehearsed before them a history of the people, from their deliverance from Egyptian bondage, where they had been slaves for so long. And he traces their history right down to a great king, King David. And he says this, "Of this man's seed hath God, according to promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." You know, tonight, that's the same Savior that we're speaking about this evening. That's the very same person that we seek to preach night after night. That's the very same one who can save your soul in this meeting. A Savior, Jesus. And then he says this. He says, "Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent." That's where I want to try and surround this little message tonight. The word of salvation. I was glad to hear Tim give those hymns out about salvation. The word of salvation. You know, the Bible speaks about in Philippians 2, the word of life, holding forth the word of life. The Bible speaks in Corinthians in relation to the word of reconciliation. And all of those great titles or descriptions are really speaking about the gospel, the word of life, the word of salvation, the word of reconciliation. Who needs life? That's simple, isn't it? Well, people who need life are people who are dead. And that's what our Bible says. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we're dead in trespasses and in sins. That man in sin by nature is spiritually dead to God. But the gospel is the word of life. And the great thing is this evening, that our Bible says that he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, and the Bible says that you're really dead in trespasses and in sins, there is life tonight, and there is life in Christ, and there is life in this gospel that we preach. You would ask the question, who needs salvation? Well, that's simple. People that are lost. But here's the word of salvation. For those who are lost. And you know, the Bible makes it very clear that before God we are lost. The Lord Jesus said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." But there's salvation tonight for the lost. And you think of that word of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Who is it that needs to be reconciled or brought together or brought to God? It's those who are aliens. It's those who are at a distance from God. And the gospel does that as well, you see. It brings people to God. So it's the word of life. And it's the word of salvation. And it's the word of reconciliation. And so as Paul speaks to this company, this Jewish company that day. And he traces their history from that time when they were delivered from Egyptian bondage. And he comes right down to David the king, and he speaks about the Savior. And then he says, men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation preached. You know, this evening, just for a few minutes, I want you to think about this word of salvation. And I want you to think about it from the verses that we have read. Because in these verses that we have read, we have something really great about the word of salvation. And the first outstanding thing is this. It's a word of authority. You see, Paul says, to you is the word of this salvation sent. And the emphasis is on that word sent. Here's a message that has been sent. You may ask the question tonight, sent by whom? Sent by God Himself. A message that's sent from God for men, for you and for me. The word of salvation sent. It is a definite message. I was thinking of that word sent. You know, the Bible tells us that the man of whom this gospel is all about has been sent. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. The Bible says that when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. You know, there's no doubt about it tonight, that the one of whom this message revolves around, our Lord Jesus Christ, was really sent by God. Way back in the Old Testament, I'm sure many of us know that lovely story of Joseph. And Joseph is such a picture of the Lord Jesus. And way back in Psalm 105, when the psalmist gives a great history of the nation of the people of Israel, he says that he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron. What amazing thought that. He says he sent a man before them. You know, tonight, the one who has been sent into the world was sent by God Himself. There was nothing haphazard about it. There was nothing by chance about it. It was when the fullness of the time was come that God sent forth His Son. You know, the man has been sent. And the message is sent. And you know, it even goes further. That those who would preach it need to be sent as well. How? Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? So the whole thing, you see, is something that's definite. Here's a message that's not only definite. Here's a message that's divine. But I don't want to spend too much time here. Here's a message that is different. Different. You know, Paul, before his conversion as Saul of Tarsus, was an ardent Jew. And he was so proud of his religion and everything else. But when he embraced Christ and the gospel, he discovered this, that this message was different from everything else. There were many religions in the world in that day as well, just as there are in our day. But Paul knew that in this message, there was something that was different from everything else. I wonder what's different about it tonight. Well, there's many things we could say to that. But I'll tell you this tonight. Here's a message that cancels the past. Now, there's nothing else does that. Here is a message tonight that can do away and cleanse away the past. The Lord said to that woman, and about that woman in Luke chapter 7, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. The past is gone. Here's a message that cancels the past. Here's a message that takes care of the present. That now, presently, my the person who has been forgiven, they are in Christ. And they are part of that family of God. And they are part of that company that one day will populate heaven forever. A message that cancels the past, that takes care of the present, and confirms the future. You know, there's people, and they spend lots of money to try and find out about their future. And they go to all types of people and spend money to try somehow and find out about the future. Listen tonight. This gospel message, this word of salvation, it cancels the past. It cares for the present, but it confirms the future. Now, I don't know about tomorrow, nor do you. But I do know about eternity. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about the next 24 hours. But I know that I have a future in heaven forever. Now, there's no other message in the world that does that. It's different. It's definite. It's divine. It's different, but it's direct to you. Paul wasn't using his imagination, you know. Sometimes preachers, and maybe I would be more guilty than any, sometimes, you know, you might be preaching to an imaginary audience. He wasn't. He faced them dead on. He faced them straight on. He says to you. Maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. And you might think to yourself, well, that sort of thing, this whole business of being saved, well, that's just for the people that go to the gospel hall or go to these other places. Listen tonight. I want you to know that this message is for you. And it's not confined to any place. And it's not confined, to any organization. Here's a message for you tonight. Boy or girl, man or woman, to you is the word of this. Salvation sent. But very briefly, it's not only a word of authority, it's a word of assurance. You know, if you could try and picture that scene where Paul is before this devout Jewish audience, and as I've already said, he retraces their history, and then he comes right down to the Savior, and then he goes right on to speak about the Savior. And he says this. He says, although they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. Listen to this now. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. I'll tell you, that was good. I would say there was a whole lot didn't like the last bit. If there were Sadducees, they wouldn't have liked the bit about the resurrection. You know, our Sunday school teacher used to tell us about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and how that the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. And then he would say, they were sad, you see. Because I'll tell you this tonight, if you don't believe in the resurrection, there'll not be an ounce of joy about you. You'll be eternally sad. Well, they're listening, you know, mouth and ears. They've never heard anything like it. They found no cause of death in him. There was never a man like that. You see, there's cause of death in me tonight. There's cause of death in you because of sin. And because you are a sinner, of course there is. But they found no cause of death in him. They desired Pilate that he would be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, think of these three things tonight. They took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre, but God raised him from the dead. They took him, they laid him, and God raised him. He says, they took him down from the tree. Isn't it wonderful, you know, that Peter speaks and he says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. They took him down from the tree. Who took him down? Do you remember it was Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea? When the crowds had disappeared, they climbed that hill and they took the nails from his hands and from his feet. They took him down. I'll tell you tonight, that was something that was delicate. They took him down. The poet said gently, they took him down. Unfixed his hands and feet, took from his head a thorny crown, wrapped him in winding sheet. They took him down from the cross. You know, the hands that took him down were different from the hands that put him there. Because Peter says in Acts chapter 2, he says, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. It was wicked hands that put him there. It was tender hands that took him down. They took him down from the tree. What a scene. And they laid him, wrapped his body in that linen, that fine linen, and the myrrh and the aloes, and they carried his body down the hill, and beside that hill there was a garden, and in that garden there was a new tomb in which never a man had laid. The Bible says, there laid they Jesus. They did it patiently, they did it properly, they did it tenderly, they did it carefully, they did it lovingly. Oh, they laid him there in the tomb. Isn't that amazing? They took him. They laid him in the tomb. And he's there. But you know, tonight, he was there, but he's not there. And the Bible says, but God raised him from the dead. It was human hands that took him and laid him. But, oh, the dynamic. It was a divine hand that raised him. God raised him from the dead. You know, tonight in this meeting, the greatness and the grandness of the gospel, Paul brought before these people that day in Antioch of Pisidia. Hey, he directed them to Christ. He spoke about the Savior and his cross and his burial and his resurrection. And my, tonight, that's what we do. The wonder is, and will always be, that he died upon the cross of shame. You know, there'll be a whole lot of things different when we get to heaven. But there'll be some things that'll not change, you know. When I get to heaven, it'll still be a wonder to my soul that Christ died for me. The word of salvation. It's the word of authority. It's the word of assurance. It's the word of acceptance. And now, my, he says, and through this man, he says, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And he says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things by which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. What about that? The man that died on the cross and was buried and God raised him. It's through this man. He says, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and no other man. Forgiveness of sins is not found in some penance or prayers or rite or ceremony or creed or sacrament. No. Through this man. That's it. Is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. Someone might say here tonight, but you don't know my past, the things that I have done. I listen this evening. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from
all sin. I remember many years ago in the place where I worked for a few years, before we went out full time in the preaching in 1978. I remember, you know, what those days, the troubles were so bad in the north of Ireland, and there was many murders and many deaths. I remember one morning coming into work, and the night before there had been an horrific murder. And the men were talking, and I heard them, and they were going over what had happened the night before. And one man said to the other, he said, "I don't believe," he said, "that God could forgive the people that did that." Mania, I knew where he was coming from. But I had to tell them there was a God who could, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. I want to ask you tonight, are your sins forgiven? Are your sins gone? The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Forgiven. I read a story, or heard a story, of a cemetery in the United States with all its thousands of headstones. And in that vast cemetery, there is one headstone that's different. There's no name on it, there's no age on it, there's no epitaph on it. There's just one word in bold letters written right in the center of that headstone. And it's the word forgiven. Forgiven. That the person that whose remains lie beneath that sod, that's all they want anyone to know about them, that they were forgiven. What am I tonight? In a word, I'm a forgiven sinner. That's all I am. And you know something? In 1,000 years from now, I'll still be that. A forgiven sinner. Are you one? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things by which they could not be justified by the law of Moses. Is that not tremendous tonight? Not only forgiven, not only the fact that I'm cleansed from sin, but justified. I'm cleared from every charge that was against me. As I finish, the word of salvation, it's the word of authority, it's the word of assurance, it's the word of acceptance, but it's a word of alarm. Beware therefore lest that come upon you which was spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work in which ye shall nowise believe, though a man declare it unto you. Listen tonight. It's the best news that the world has ever heard. It's the greatest message that has ever been known. It's the sweetest story that has ever been told. But there's a solemn side to it. The word of salvation is a word of alarm. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. You know, the solemn thought is this tonight. This great message of the gospel can bring you untold blessing now and eternal blessing forever. But if refused, if rejected, you'll perish. Somehow that word has come up this last night or two. That word, perish. Oh, this evening, don't perish. You don't have to. You don't have to lose your soul. You don't have to be in hell. No, no. God has done everything that you might be in heaven. He has given His Son. He has sent Him to the cross. He has dealt with sin. He has defeated Satan. He can deliver sinners. See, tonight, you can refuse it, you know. I haven't time to go into it. But further down that chapter, there was a whole lot of people who refused it. And Paul said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Don't refuse it tonight. Don't reject it. To refuse it, to reject it, is to perish. Listen to it as I close. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. To despise it, reject it, refuse it, you'll perish. To you tonight is the word of this salvation sent. May there be a heart, may there be a soul tonight to embrace it, to trust the Savior, the one who did all and paid all and completed all upon the cross, and the one who rose again. May God help someone tonight just to take it in and make it yours. Shall we pray? Lord, we